The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 28. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, it's the last Sunday where we're going to have our Christ candle burning. We're at the end of the season of Epiphany. And today is like the Epiphanies of the Epiphanies. Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a mountain, and he is revealed as God in flesh and blood. Not that that wasn't happening before, it was. During the season of Epiphany, Jesus has been making himself known as God in flesh and blood. Have you caught those epiphanies? Or are you kind of like the disciples and like I am, where we know Jesus is God, but then we forget and we don't see what he's doing that's changing everything and blessing our lives? It's hard to be awake. It's hard to always remember who our Savior is and what he's doing right now in your life and my life. I mean, before the disciples, it's an amazing thing. And of course, Jesus changed their lives, taking them from fearful, panicky, maybe even angry and quick-tempered to witnesses to Jesus and of him in their day, in their time. And Jesus is doing the same thing in our day and in our time. He is at work. The title of our meditation this morning is Transformed by Jesus. It's a really interesting thing. I don't know if you like watching some of the shows where something really old and beat up and battered and smashed gets to be transformed into something new again. Now, to be sure, it could have been just scraped off its foundation, burned, and something else built. But these are interesting things, to take something old and making it new, transforming it into what it once was. I don't know about you, but I'm at that age where I'd kind of like to drop my body off at the doctor's for a few days and say, let's say age 29, download everything I've learned up to this point so I don't have to learn everything the same way, but I'd like to have the body back and go forward. It doesn't work that way, though, does it? It doesn't. But there are things going on inside of us. And the good news is Christ is at work in all of them, and he can get the job done. He's at work. Not only has he transformed us, but he is transforming us. And it's interesting, in the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John were there, and they didn't really know what was going on, and Jesus was changed. He was revealed. Metamorphothe in the Greek. Crazy word. He's changed before their very eyes. He's revealed as God in flesh and blood. And Moses and Elijah are there talking about it. I mean, how did Peter know that they were Moses and Elijah? We don't know, but he knows. Moses was buried. And so he just had his body somewhere in the earth, and Elijah was taken up by the whirlwind. But Peter knows who they are. They're recognizable. And they're also quite amazing because they're talking with Jesus about his departure. Or another crazy word in the Greek is exodus from Jerusalem. With outstretched arms, Jesus would work a salvation far greater than that which Moses worked, rescuing us from the land of sin, slavery, and death, this land of sin, slavery, and death, and giving us salvation. So they talk about it. Peter's not sure what's going on. He's actually afraid. We see in the gospel accounts. And then finally God says this. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him. And that's what we're doing. That's why we study God's word. That's why we look at what Christ commands us to do. That's why we say, Lord, forgive me for the ways I fail. Thank you for your forgiveness and love. Because it's all about what Jesus is doing in your life and my life. This is a mountaintop experience where Jesus is revealed as to who he is. Epiphany, transfiguration, God in flesh and blood. But this would prepare him for another mountaintop experience where on Calvary's cross, on the place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary, he would be transformed, facing the full wrath of God for all of our sin, wickedness, and transgression. All the ways that you and I failed to do what we're supposed to do and done what we're not supposed to do, for all those ways, he would be brutally transformed by the wrath of God. Certainly, at the hands of soldiers, he would also be brutalized. In Isaiah 53, we hear how he was marred beyond human appearance. So things like The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson aren't that far flung by the brutality our Savior faced. All this would be necessary so that you and I would be transformed from being sinners and enemies of God to family of God. What he would willingly go through to change our lives, to restore our lives to what God intends for us. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. And this presented us to God. Here's how Paul says it. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. It is done. Your restoration and my restoration is a historical thing that's been accomplished. It's done. On that day on Calvary's cross, Christ presented us to the Father as restored. To use Paul's words, holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That's good news. And yet, we must also confess that even after we've been restored by the sacrifice of Christ once for all on the cross, we still can see how we become alienated and hostile in our minds. How many ways do you and I want to go our own way instead of God's ways? How many ways does our thinking sinfully stink in our attitudes and what's going on around us, how we feel about certain people? How many ways can we become hostile and enemies in mind against God and one another? I mean, it's like just decaying again into what we were. So how do we become restored from that? Well, we did it earlier in the service by confessing to God that we're helpless to fix ourselves. We cannot, in and of ourselves, straighten out everything that's going on. Think about it this way. In our Hebrews reading, we were called a metaphor. We were given a picture or an image of who and what we are. And I don't know if you caught it, but it's an interesting picture of who and what we are in God's work of salvation in our lives. It goes this way. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. You are his house. I am his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. So in the sacrifice of Christ, we are restored. When we first experienced that in the waters of baptism or where we first heard the gospel, it changed everything. Our whole house was reorganized, was restored. Now, how many ways do we mess it up? How many ways do we abuse it? And yet, our reset is in Christ and what he's done for us. It's saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, hold me. Lord, heal me. Lord, help me think differently. Lord, help me to do things differently. In and across the spectrum of our house, our life, the way we think, how we feel about things, even when we go with our gut, which isn't always accurate. No matter what, he loves living in us. How many of you live in a house? Just checking. When you bought your house, were you satisfied with it just to stay empty? Or did you start unpacking your dreams and your hopes? How many times did you have to say to your spouse, do you realize how hard that's going to be? Oh, can't we do that, honey? What did you do with that place that wasn't yours that long before? You made that house into your home. And you like your home. You love your home. It's an extension of who you are and what you're about. So Jesus has done the same thing. He loves us. He wants to dwell in us. And so he has all kinds of things he wants to do in here, today, and tomorrow, and through the course of the week. And, you know, we can live with that. But then he starts messing with this decoration. Or he doesn't like that in your life and my life. Or he knocks out a wall we think is a strategic, supportive wall. And we think, what are you doing here, Lord? But you know, he's making your life his home. He wants you to have courage. He wants you to boast in the hope that you have in him. I mean, we're living in a crazy time. Not only are we dealing with the continued cascading fallout of the pandemic, but now we're dealing with Russia attacking Ukraine and all that can unfold from that. And yet we can stand fast knowing that Christ is living in us. Christ loves us. Christ is working through us. And he's not going to fail at it. Some of us have had some restorations done on various things, hoping for the best, getting a whole lot less than what we wanted. But we don't have to feel that way with what Jesus is doing in our lives. And maybe there are places in your life that aren't making sense and just hurt. But Christ is at work. We are transformed by Jesus in the once for all death on the cross. And we are being transformed by Jesus through all the things that this life throws our way. All the ways that we fumble and fail. Christ is at work. And this is good news. Because before the Father, we are holy and blameless and above reproach. Nothing can stick because of what Christ has done. And as we trust in him, we can go forward in that faith. Not only that, but there's some decorating we can do that we know is in unity with what Christ wants. And it's interesting how Peter says this to a bunch of people who have been scattered because of persecution. They've lost their homes. They've lost their livelihoods. They've lost their old friends. They've been scattered because of persecution. And yet, Peter reminds them of who they are and what they are, and that they're the household of God as well. He also calls them living stones of all things and other things. But he says this in his second... Well, before I get to Peter, let's talk about Paul. Paul says this after talking about the salvation given by Jesus. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Gosh, how many of you are feeling a little bit more hitches in the get-along every day and realizing you can't do what you used to do? And boy, you know, And yet, this is the way of the flesh. This is the way of your life and my life. And yet, though we're outwardly wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I mean, I see this in so many people, especially those who have had a lot of life underneath their feet, where, you know, you can see their challenges and yet you can see their faith shining through because they're being renewed. They know what it means to trust the Lord, to rely on Him. They realize how they fall short, and yet they trust in Jesus. That's what it's about. And yet, even with this, how can we be looking at what's going on inside of us differently? How can we unite with Jesus in what He's doing? And this is, now we're going to 2 Peter, where we hear this. For this very reason, about all the salvation we have in Christ, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Now, as you start decorating your life with these things, you're going to see how you fall short. Remember, this is finished and complete in what Christ did on the cross. But as you look toward these things, as you practice self-control, as you seek to be steadfast and not give up on God and what's going on and trust in Him, even though there are challenges in your life, you know, this is how you are to decorate your house, your life, your heart, your mind. And steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, learning how to love the people around you, even though it's not always easy. And brotherly affection with love, with agape, forgiveness. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because these are the things that Christ is focused on. In fact, has accomplished for us, presenting us before the Father. He's at work. He's at work. And what we're going to be in this time, in this life, continues to unfold. Epiphany. As we learn to lean into what's going on, as we address things and pray and talk with the Lord about what's going on in our lives and the lives of those around us. As we see what Christ is doing. You know, there's a show, it's called 60 Minute Makeover. And I can't remember what station it's on, but it's fascinating what they can do in short order. And every once in a while, I'll watch it with my wife and what they can do. And, you know, whether it has to do with houses or cars and restoration or lives restoration, nothing matches what Jesus is doing in your life and my life. And yet, we might have to also add, that can be a place where there can be a lot of frustration. Why aren't you hurrying up? But He's at work, and He'll accomplish what He seeks to do because He loves living. He loves living. He loves living in you. And He's making you more than a house. He's making you His home. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace... Oh, and so what does a life transformed by Jesus look like? Well, check each other out. You're living proof. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, amen.